Just some words of Akdoma again here. Last week we studied the Maimer. Rav Dessler was explaining the Maimer Chazal is Yovish Oachas Shul Koyris Ruach Boilum Habo Mikol Chai Oilum Hazeh. Dessler was explaining what it means is that one hour of pleasure in Oilum Habo outweighs all the pleasure Mikol Chai Oilum Hazeh. Now, when we hear that memra, of course, we fail to realize and to recognize what it means that the spiritual world outweighs, when we talk, this physical world, and which is really the koyach of Musa, especially Rav Dessler, how to break it down systematically. Because when you hear the thing, all the pleasures of this world, very difficult to comprehend. When you say something like 6 million Jews were killed, 6 million is such a high number, and just say it in a half a second, 6 million Jews, you fail to comprehend what it means, 6 million. But if you break it down to components, you talk about one Yid was killed, 5 Yid, 10 Yid, 20, 50, you're only up to 100, and you keep going, you break it down, then we begin a little bit to comprehend even what 1,000 means, and what 5,000 means, and certainly 100,000, and you reach 1 million to have an idea to conceptualize what 6 million means. So Rav Dessler did in the same way to understand what it means, all the pleasures of this world, because the truth is, it's not enough merely in the world of Musar, and especially in Rav Dessler's world, it's not enough merely to know that the spiritual excels the material, but actually it has to be felt knowledge. It has to be something that you feel, not something that you merely know. And therefore, it has to be an imagination that you are really experiencing. To be able to experience this, what we are saying, that the spiritual world, the next world, outweighs all the pleasures of this world. And therefore, what Rav Dessler did was, if you remember, he broke it down into components, which was sort of like a mental exercise to force the person to visualize point by point all the successive stages of a process. And therefore, as he mentioned, when you talk about all the pleasures of this world, he says, the way it started was, you think about all the hours of happiness within the life of one person, you can imagine. Take all the hours of happiness within the total lifespan of one person. And then you multiply that by many people. And you multiply that, he says, by all the pleasures of the whole town. Each individual, throughout his entire lifetime. And then you multiply that by many towns. And then you go to the whole country. Then you go by many countries. Then you go all the pleasures of each individual in the entire world. And then all the people who have lived from the time of creation till the end of time. Now, take all those pleasures, put it into one package. Oilam Habo, one moment, 1 hour of Oilam Habo outweighs all of that. By doing that, what Rav Dessler has shown is to actually have a feel, to have an actual hagoshe, to experience what Chazal have told us, merely just throwing out a statistic, throwing out some sort of a number. Just gives you one more example of Rav Dessler's methodology in terms, again, we hear it, but you don't feel it. And therefore, in order to be able to actually experience that, what we know, is to break it down into certain components. A classic example would be what Rav Dessler used to speak, for example, to try to imagine what eternity is. Eternity, turn forever. So, say very easy, forever. Yeah, everybody knows forever. Forever means forever. But you really don't comprehend what forever means. And even if we try to explain it just a little bit the way Rav Dessler did, when you talk about eternity, to just have a little bit of an idea, to feel something what eternity means. And Rav Dessler said the following, the way Rav Dessler thinks, a great thinker of his caliber, and he said, I want you to imagine, he says, that you have an enormous mountain of sand, an enormous mountain of sand which is situated next to the sea. Alright, so you see an enormous mountain, not some mountain, an enormous mountain of sand next to the sea. Every 1,000 years, now listen to this, every 1,000 years, he says, a great bird flies up to the top of the mountain, takes one grain of sand, right, in its beak, and drops it into the sea. He says, another 1,000 years has to go by until the next grain will be taken off the mountain. So far, the mountain is still the same way as it was. You only took one grain. Can you imagine how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years until the so-called progressively, right, the mountain, right, is completed? It says, Avdeslo, even after that is done, you have not even begun eternity. Even you can imagine all how many thousands of years would it take to reduce that mountain, to flatten that mountain, if the bird takes only one grain of that mountain. Thousands of years, every thousand years for one grain. It's a little bit, well, that's what we understand when we talk about eternity, when we talk about this life is so temporary, and we say whatever we do here determines our eternal life. So imagine the achrayus, because when you talk about eternal life, this is what eternity means. So the few years that we have here on this world, like Hashem who gave us the ability to be able to enjoy that eternal life based upon what we acquire while we are here on this world. So this is just, again, another example of how Rav Dessler attempted not really to teach Musar, but actually that you actually feel the Musar, and you're able to relate it in a very, very personal way. I think that, being that Rav Dessler, of course, was a product of the school of Kelm, the Musar of Kelm, so it's kedai just to take a few moments maybe just to look into Kelm. It's no secret, of course, that anybody who at least studied Musar, the Talmud of Kelm stands out. And actually, many of the greatest, revered, I say, Chachomim, Mashgichim, Bale Musar, of character building, basically lived and taught, right, and were Talmidim of the Kelmer. Was called the Kelmer Talmud Torah. This is what it was called. It's really yeshiva, but nevertheless, it was called the Kelmer Talmud Torah. This is the way it was known. Don't think about a Talmud Torah the way we use it today. The Kelmer Talmud Torah, that was the Kelmer yeshiva. And again, the hallmark of Kelm was, of the Talmud of Musar of Kelm, was to exercise and control strict discipline, complete command of one's actions and reactions. And, of course, the father and the embodiment, right? The embodiment of this way was the altar of Kelm, Simcha Zisl. And as we mentioned already, that Rav Dessler, matter of fact, married the daughter of granddaughter of Rav Simcha Zisl, besides the fact that his father was a Talmud of Rav Simcha Zisl. But Rav Dessler actually married the granddaughter of Rav Simcha Zisl. Simcha Zisl himself, let's remember, was a Talmud of the father of the Muslim movement, Rav Sor Salanter. And Rav Dessler was a grandson. Was an inical of Rav Sor Salanter. So he's connected with Rabbi Yisrael, right, biologically and also, as we say, intellectually. Because of Simcha Zisl, right, who, again, whose daughter he married and whose school he was from, his father was from that same school. So this was Kelm. I want to just mention that interesting thing that in 1897, there was something like 4,000, but a small place, like 4,000 people in Kelm. 4,000 people in Kelm, almost 3,000 were Jewish. Which means that basically about something like 70% or so, something like that. 70% of Kelm was Jewish. And interesting thing is, by 1905, 95% of the town was Jewish. By 1905. Kelm was known that even the common people, when I say common people, was the common workers, farmers, shoemakers, tradesmen, whatever they did, working for a living, were kaveyitim l'tayre. There's no such thing as a yid who would not, at the end of a workday, or before he started his workday, wouldn't be connected to the Beis Medrash. This is what it was, even common Jews were involved, and there were many, many chevres. You had chevre shas, you had chevre telem in Kelm, you had chevre mishnayis, you had chevre chayodom, you had chevre ein yakov, and etc., etc. Many, many different chevres. Many years ago, Rav Adam Lava Malka was speaking to Balabatim, and he said the following, what the chilik he says between Rav and Balabatim, he says, the Rav is learning with the Balabatim Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And Balabatim, unfortunately, teaches the Rav Kitzur Chayodo. No, that's not always true, but in some places it was true. Apparently, I hope he wasn't speaking from personal experience. Kitzur Chayodo. So the person basically who typified Kelm, what typified Kelm was, of course, the mindset, the whole outlook was the altar of Kelm, Simcha Zisl and Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel of Slobodka, were basically, they were very young, right, in the respective yeshivas. And in context, basically, we say they were called altars. Both were called altars. Altar means basically wise. Ein zoken alamisha kona chochme. So being that they were the ones that taught the chochme, they were the ones that taught the musa, so they're known as the altar. Now, let me point out like this. Simchas Yisrael basically was one of the three primary Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael, the father Musa movement. One was Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer. So Blazer was known as Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger, right? He was known as the Lamden. The second one, Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, primary Talmud was in Naftali Amsterdam. Naftali Amsterdam was known as the Tzaddik. And then you had, the third one was Rabbi Simchas Yisrael, he was known as the Chochom. It's interesting that it was only to Reb Simchas Yisrael, the altar of Kelm, was only to Reb Simchas Yisrael that Reb Yisrael Salanter applied the verse or the posik in Shir HaShirim, where the posik says, Kuloch Yofo Rayosi Umum Ein Boch. You are totally beautiful. Umum Ein Boch means to say you have no flaw. So Salanter said about Reb Simchas Yisrael, he has no flaws. Kuloch Yofo Rayosi Umum Ein Boch. Now, interesting is that when Reb Yisrael Salanter, when he started the Musar movement, there were many of those who opposed it, very well known. Many who opposed it because it was Musar was not just, it was intensive study. You know, the same way that you put in Koiches to learn in Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, Musar was something that was supposed to be studied with intensity, and because they felt, when the Musar movement started, that merely learning, whether it's Torah Shebiksav, Chumash, and Tanakh, or learning Torah Shebaal Peh, he said, the Maisa, he says, to find ethical behavior, they tine it, those who oppose it, and that's enough. If you learn Chumash, and you learn Tanakh, and you learn, if you learn Shas, you can find all the ethical behavior that you need to know, you're going to know it from there. So interesting thing, one of those who opposed was Reb Simchas Yisrael himself. Simchas Yisrael himself, again, the great Baal Musar, he himself, in the beginning, he was one of those who also opposed the idea of the intensive idea of following the Musar movement. So what happened? So in 1849, he goes to listen to a shmuz of Reb Yisrael Salanter. Right? He goes to listen to Reb Yisrael Salanter, and the Reb Yisrael Salanter was known as the Musar Klois. It was a Klois. The Musar Klois, which is the house of Musar study. So he goes there to hear a shmuz. The purpose that he went for, listen, the purpose he went for was lekanter, to debate him. That's what he went for. His purpose was not to become a Talmud. His purpose was to go and to listen, and then to debate him. Afterwards, about the necessity, he says, of such study. But the Musa Shmuz that we saw made such a tremendous, powerful impression on him that he was won over. That Simchas Yisrael was won over. So now Rabbi Yisrael advised him to study Musa texts and analyze, he says, various areas of Midas that comprise human personality. You have to study human behavior. To study human personality, and he took to studying Musa, listen to this, with such intensity, Rav Simchas Yisrael, that he studied the third perek of the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yoina. He studied it for 6 years. 6 years. And Rabbi Yisrael heard how much time Rav Simchas Yisrael was devoting to Musa. He told him, you're overdoing it. 3 hours is enough. That was what Rabbi Yisrael saying. Gedik, he said. 3 hours is enough. Interesting to point out, you know, who is the mother that produced such a great Tzaddik Baal Musa as Reb Simchas Yisrael? Well, his mother was a woman who was known as a great tzaddikus, always collecting money for tzedakah for poor people at local funerals. That was when there was levayas, would always be standing there, and it said that even at the levaya of her own daughter, her only daughter, she lost a daughter. So she was seen collecting tzedakah at the levaya of her own daughter. Someone approached her and said, even today, under such circumstances, you stand and collecting tzedakah? And she said, just because my daughter died, there's no reason that the poor have to suffer. And she collected tzedakah. So I just want to mention that when the altar actually started the Talmud Torah in Kelem, he insisted no more than 30 Talmidim. There's a certain mindset of that. The entire school, 30 Talmidim. He said, when someone asked him about the others, listen to this, they asked him, what about, he says, others, had yeshivas, many more Talmidim. Why only 30? You know what he said? He said, I build shepherds, others build sheep. A lot of Talmidim. What are most of them? I build leaders. These 30, he said, are going to be leaders. I build shepherds, others build sheep. So to give you just a small example, because we have to move on here, small example of the self-control, because it's an amazing thing. It's something that we have no idea today. We're so far removed from that. The idea of the self-control and the order of the discipline. First of all, no Talmud, interesting. It's not practiced, no yeshivas in principle even. In Keln, no Talmud was allowed to raise his voice during learning. That itself was also discipline. Debates among Talmidim had to be conducted, let's say there was pilpul between, in controlled tones. You could just scream one at the other. Like you find yeshivas many times, it's very natural. No, you have to control yourself at that. In that exercise, you also have to control yourself. A person was not allowed to turn around during learning or davening for any reason. In other words, you're learning, you don't turn your head to the right, don't turn. A person had to be perfectly groomed, everything should be neatly combed, no soiled garment could be worn. When the outer suit was 20 years old, it was so well cared for that people thought it was new. It's the discipline of Keln. The altar was in such control and focus that at the end of every day, it is said that he had a cheshbon on every thought. That every thought that went through his mind the entire day, he never expressed anger, he never lost control, and when he ate small bony fish. You know why? Because two things happen when you eat small bony fish. Firstly, you can't eat quickly. Why? Because it's bony. And also, he says, you can't eat a lot. Two things. It's an exercise on how to eat. The exercise on how to eat. Can't eat quickly, and you can't eat a lot, he said. And the tine is like this. He says, the food, he says, in the Talmud Torah, basically, he says, interesting thing. It consisted of porridge. He says, so don't Talmud becomes a baltava when it comes to achila. Now listen to this. Interesting thing is, if a bracha received mail, he had to wait a day before he opened it. Hold your curiosity. It's also self-control. Couldn't open it that same day. He had to wait a day before he opened it. He says, if a fire brigade, which happens all the time, right, passes by, right, and you hear this blaring siren, and a bacher turned to see it, it was grounds for rebuke. You don't turn around. You're busy doing what you're doing. This interesting thing is that in later years, Rebbe Lapyan, of course, was the Mishgich in Kfar Chasidim in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a Talmud of Keln, school of Keln. Rebbe Lapyan, school of Keln. He said that if a Kelmer Talmud was standing at a bus stop, listen to this, if a Kelmer Talmud was standing at a bus stop and turned his head to see if the bus was coming, he would be chastised because his curiosity would not make the bus come quicker. That's what you're looking for. Curiosity. Control yourself. This is just a little bit, Rabbi Isai, of what you have an idea of the discipline of Keln. This is the Mus of Keln. Refining your character and building character for one purpose only. All right, to be continued, Metzushem. Let's go further. Let's take a look at this essay that we have here, Rav Dessler, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Page 5. Okay, page 5. Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Okay, there's a Mishnah Novice. We all have heard of that Mishnah. All right, Mishnah says, Shaninu Bovois, Mishnah says, Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah, which means that one mitzvah induces another mitzvah. If you do one mitzvah, a mitzvah induces another mitzvah. Shizchar Mitzvah Mitzvah, because the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. So Rav Dessler says, Mashma, he said, it would appear, the Be'emes Ein Bo'ilum Azeh Shum Schar Achal Mitzvah. In the next world, Abada, there's a lot of reward. But in this world, there's no real schar. Schar mitzvah, we had already. Schar mitzvah b'hayel melekeh. Right? The reward of a mitzvah is not paid on this world. The true reward of a mitzvah is paid on this world. And as Rav Dessler already explained last week, we had it. The reason Kadosh Baruch Hu does not pay schar mitzvah on this world, because there's no currency in this world that's able, there's not enough currency. Because as we pointed out, one moment of Olam Haba outweighs all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, so there's nothing in Olam Hazeh that's able even to do justice to even a chelik of the schar of a mitzvah. So what do you receive on this world? Schar mitzvah is mitzvah. You get another mitzvah. Get the opportunity to do another mitzvah. Schar mitzvah on this world. Schar mitzvah is mitzvah. So this would appear to confirm that in this world, right? The mitzvah is mitzvah. It would appear that The only thing is that one mitzvah draws on another. The gam be'emes, he says, hein zeh schar amiti. The truth is, that is the true reward. The true reward, he says, the actual reward is the very fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu sanctifies us by giving us a mitzvah. The truth is, no greater reward. The fact that schar mitzvah, to be able to do another mitzvah, that in fact, that is the real reward. That is the emesdiger reward that Kodesh Baruch Hu through a mitzvah is mekadesh us with his mitzvahs and is bringing us close, right? He grants us the privilege of serving him. Because there's no other reward in this world that could be true. Why? Because all that exists in this world is really sheker as far as the material of the world is concerned. So it's not a true reward. It wouldn't be a true reward. He says, because all of the good, the worldly goods in this world, he says, betois v'sheker yisaidom. Right? It's all, he says, it is sheker. He says it is false. And he points out, it is transient, it's illusory. He says, v'rak haruchni yisashir yizkeh Hashem yizborach yisonobo, yizak Hashem yizborach yisonobo. And therefore he says, the only reward is, the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity, right, to be able to do another mitzvah, to serve him. He says, harei hu aschar ha-god l'shein kamoyu. That, he said, is the greatest schar that nothing can compare. But then we have a problem. Having said that. Problem is, right, there's no reward in this world for mitzvahs. The Torah is filled with promises. Right? In the parasha of Krishna, or in the second parasha, Om Nom, he says, Lefizei Kosher, so now he says we are confronted with a problem. Masha no imrim b'Krishna. We say in Krishna, we read, V'hoim shemoya tishmu, that if you listen to my mitzvahs, it says, V'nasati mitar ar tzichem bitoy. Right? If you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha and so on, so the promise is, V'nasati mitar ar tzichem bitoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll provide rain, right? You'll land in the bitoy in the proper time, and so on and so forth. And then it says further, it says, Yairu Malkush, early rains, later rains, all type of rain, whatever is necessary for the season, for the climate, for the situation, all type of positive rains. It says, Vasavta Zeganecho, and you're going to gather your grain. Tiroshcha Visarecho, you're going to have success in brach in your wine and in your oil. It says, Vachalta Visavata, you're going to eat, you're going to be satisfied. How do you explain that? And he says, more than that, he says, look at Almo, you see from here, the Yeshchar Mitzvah Boilam Azeh. It seems that there's Char Mitzvah in this world. Valoirak. And Rav Dessel says, and don't think that maybe this material Schar is for the so-called small mitzvahs. Small mitzvahs, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe pays on this world. Whatever that means, small mitzvahs. Rav Dessel says, don't make a mistake, he says. Valoirak she mitzvahs ketan is tashlum in Boilam Azeh. Elegam ha-madregis ha-yoyis gedoilis. We're talking about the highest madregis because the Pasuk says, la-havos Hashem lakechu lo-ovdoi b'chol levavchim b'chol nafshechem. So we're talking about that you're the greatest Oved Hashem that's possible. And what does it say after that? I'm going to give you rain, I'm going to give you food. So we're talking about reward. We're talking about reward being bestowed for the highest madregas of Avedis Hashem, he says. Which is, this is the madrega hama'ula shibamulis. L'ovdoi b'chol levavchim is the highest madrega that one can imagine. There's the high madrega. Now there's no greater spiritual level. There's no greater spiritual level than l'ovdoi b'chol levavchim b'chol nafshechem. And yet, Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a divine response. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll bestow the rain on your land. So Rav Dessel says, so how do we understand, right, an apparent contradiction that we're saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not pay schar for mitzvahs. It's only schar mitzvah is mitzvah. So says Rav Dessel, and he says, the truth is you don't have to search very far for the answer, because omnom kvar pirish Rambam zal. The truth is that the Rambam himself revealed the answer as shoyrish inyan zeh. He explained this by perek tes mil cheshuvah. Rambam Pektezer Cheshuv explains the following Vizeli Shoina. First, let's read the words of the Rambam, then we'll give a simple illustration. You'll clearly understand what the Rambam is saying. Okay, few lines of Rambam here, quoting. Few lines. Rambam says as follows. Vivdichonu b'toyre. Yes, the Torah promised us. Rambam is talking now. Shimnasa oiso b'simche, he says, b'toyves nefesh. That if we fulfill the mitzvahs right with joy and a cheerful spirit, right, and we reflect on the wisdom of Torah. In other words, we study Torah, right? And we are be oisik in the chokhmas haTorah. We are promised sheyoser mimenu kol hadvarim hamoinim oisonim lasoisa. In other words, we are promised that Kodesh Baruch Hu will remove anything that prevents us from being mekayim mitzvahs. In other words, if we dedicate ourselves for kiyum mitzvahs, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises He'll remove the obstacles that might prevent us from doing the mitzvahs. For example, Gigon Choli, sickness. Person sick, he's not able to serve Hashem properly. If you're committed to Avodas Hashem, then Hashem will remove, right, the obstacle that might prevent you. For example, disease. Or Melchama, might be war. Could be a rob, could be famine. Could be Yitzhaban, and so on. These are things, all type of things. And instead, V'yashpil on the kol ha-toivos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead will bestow upon us all the toivos, all the bounty of machzikos es yodenu, right? Which intensify, which give us the ability, lasis ha-toivos. Because seveya, we're going to have, right? Seveya, we're going to have satisfied satiation, the sholoim, v'ribu kesef is off. Why are we going to have all these things? Not chal mitzvah. We're going to have all of these things, right, to accommodate us to be able to serve Hashem better. We shouldn't have to toil, right, physically, waste our time in earthly things, because Baruch Hu will bestow bracha, that we should have more time available to serve Him. We should be able, right, to have time and to occupy ourselves all day, or most of the day, or at least a chelik of the day, and to do the mitzvahs. Meaning, Rama says very simply. I want to give you an example, Rabbi Yisrael. You see clearly what Rama is saying. As he says himself, you see the next line of Rav Dessler, before I explain it. Look what Rav Dessler says. Royal Hisamik, he says, Rav Dessler says, these words of the Rambam is something that deserves study, deserves thought, to lehovin atkam and nifloim hema. The words of the Rambam are not some words, look at the adjectives. Atkam and nifloim el avram hafle vofele. Again, he repeats it. This is tremendous, wonderful insight. I'll tell you, give you a partial illustration. Imagine, let's say that somebody, an employer hires a worker. Employer hires a worker. And they agree upon a certain salary. Whatever it is. So now the employee knows he has a salary, and he has to do his work. After a month, the employer sees that the worker has a lot of talent. He has a lot of talent. So the employer now makes a cheshbon. Being that my worker that I hired has a lot of talent, I'm going to see to it, right, to give him the accommodation to be able to produce the maximum that he's able to. So what does he do? He puts an air conditioner into the office. He gives him a comfortable chair. He gives him a soda machine. Rabbi says, is this schar for his work? No, schar for the work is the salary. All of these other good things are accommodations to be able to produce better. Said the Rambam, all of the aftochas of goodness that the Torah says I'll give you when you're mekayim the mitzvah, that's not the salary, that's not the reward. The reward is in Olam Haba. But now the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that you're serving Him. B'cholavavcho, b'chol nafshecho. So Kadosh Baruch Hu now wants to give you all the accommodations, remove all the preventives. Kadosh Baruch Hu will remove the disease, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you rain, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you panosa. Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you all the bracha, not the Torah schar. Because schar is not in this world. But all of these things are to enable, to be able to enhance, that you should be able now to serve Hashem even better. If Hashem sees that you're serving Him, so Hashem now wants to make it even easier, so you're able to serve Him even better. That's how the Rambam touches up all of these good promises. This is not reward, this is not schar, it's not a contradiction. Schar in this world doesn't exist for a mitzvah. Schar, mitzvah, mitzvah. Because Baruch Hu gives you another mitzvah. One mitzvah gives you another mitzvah. And all of the promises of bounty and the good fortune that the Torah promises is not the Torah's reward. It's not schar. That's accommodations to give you the ability to be able to serve even better. Even better. Given the tight surroundings. Give him everything that he needs to make him easier, make him more comfortable. And so on and so forth. That's what Rav Dessler points out, the Rambam, you see. He said, Nimtzinu Lamedim. Let's go further. So he said, what we learn, he says, what do we learn from here? Ki kol inyan toiv oilam hazeh. So now look deeper, what Rambam says. So what do we see now? So it means now by implication what that means. So when Hashem is giving you all the good, which means he's giving you all the toiv oilam hazeh, but he's giving it to use it for avodas Hashem. That's what it means. So now it means, so all the toivah, so Hashem, when Hashem gives you bracha, that Hashem gives you blessing, it's not to use it for yourself. You don't want to enhance your pleasure on this world. But all of the bracha, yes, all of the material, right? All of the material fortune that Hashem gives you on this world, as Rambam pointed out, is why? Is because, in order to enhance your avodas Hashem. So that's the purpose. So all the toivah, so olam hazeh, says Rav Dessler. That's what you take out of this Rambam. Ki kol inyan toivah olam hazeh. The purpose of worldly well-being. What's the purpose of well-being in this world? Asheroi loydem sheyasek abidecha toyev ein ze leman. The purpose is not to indulge. Shistanek boi betanugim gashmiyim. Purpose was not to indulge in physical pleasure. Ela tachlis hu akvarach leman hakedusha. To further aim of holiness. To further his aim of holiness. That's the purpose, he says. Sheyiyu inyono oylem hazeh halolu. The inyonim of oylem hazeh, right, that you have received. Mesayim loyal dvarim, he says, shebikdusha, v'loyishim tachlis acheres, that they have to serve the ends of holiness and no other purpose at all. Vizeh pirish, and that's going again what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that schar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. What does it mean? It means there's no reward for mitzvah in this world except the enhanced opportunity to do more mitzvahs. And that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, yes, will give you a lot of good. But that is to do another mitzvah. So schar mitzvah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, let's say, gives you a lot of material fortune in this world. But what is that? The schar of the mitzvah that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you is not reward. L'shem reward is mitzvah. To be able to do another mitzvah. That's a new taichin schar mitzvah mitzvah. So all the good fortune, all the schar that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a mitzvah, in this world, is only mitzvah to be able to enhance. Is to be able to enhance, right, Ravidus Hashem, to the opportunity. It enhances up to be able to do more mitzvahs. As he points out, and he says, V'gam toivo elam hazeh, sheyasek hatzadik ulitach lezeh, says all the worldly well-being that a tzadik receives is for this sole purpose. That's the purpose. Now, so says our vessel now. So listen, we go further. Now let's go a step further. Okay, now you came to this point that all the toivus of Olam Hazeh, right, is in order to be used l'dovr shebikdusha, to enhance your avodas Hashem, to give you more opportunity, give you better opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So v'kim shekein. So now that we arrive at this point, Harei be'emes, it follows that kol inyon Olam Hazeh yesh b'em kedusha. Hear that? Everything, every gashmizik thing, every material thing, it has kedusha. Because why? Because it is a means to an end. All in Yonam of Olam Hazeh, all the mundane things that here you have, all of them have Kedusha, Shaharei Muchonim Hema, because they have been, right, prepared here, L'man Harbois Kedusha, V'em Kelim L'Kedusha. They become vessels, right, of bringing holiness, bringing Kedusha. They are Kelim of Kedusha. Now look how far he goes. U'kemoi be'beis HaMikdash, look what Rav Dessel says. Beis HaMikdash have Kelim. There everybody understands those Kalim were Kalim of Kedusha, to serve Hashem. It's no different, he says, all in Yonah and Mazah are the same way. They are Kalim for Kedusha, he says. The same in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol HaKalim, he says, Hashayich. Right? He says, Sheyetze HaTachlis HaMekudish Al Yodai Hu Kodesh. In the Beis HaMikdash, of course, he says, all the Kalim and everything that could serve, right? All the Kalim of Beis HaMikdash that could serve the holy end of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Are a chelik of the Kedusha. Im kein gam b'chol dover v'dover yesh boi min ha-shoyvish hazeh. Rav Dessler says that everything in the everyday world, right, has a similar quality of holiness. Similar quality. Everything in this world has a similar quality of holiness. Why? Ki kol inyon olam hazeh muchonim heimo shenishtamish b'em kodesh. Because, he says, it's capable of being used for a holy purpose. Uman niflo, he says. Umashom ruchazal. He says. This wonderful significance, he says. When Chazal have said, Kushulchonoi shel Talmud Chocham. Chazal said, and this is the depth of what Chazal said, that the table of the Talmud Chocham is like a mizbeach. Vachilosoi, and the eating of the Talmud Chocham is like a korban. We'll soon have on the sheet a little bit more that we have here, a little bit to elaborate on that nekuda, which Rav Dessler is saying. But Chazal are saying, Shulchan shel Talmud Chocham is like a mizbeach, not stam a table. What do you mean? Just eating. He's eating. No. When a Talmud Chocham eats, it's an avodas Hashem. He's serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu with this eating. Vachilosoi is kekarban. And his achil is like a korban. V'hainu mishum, shekol inyan asude, because the eating of a Talmud Chocham, he says, he be'emes dover Kodesh Elyon. It is sublime. It's a heavenly act. Lahagbir chayolim l'toyro. Because now it gives him koyach to serve Hashem better. Right? If you're scrawny, if you're unhealthy, if you're weak, and you have no koyach, how are you going to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the more koyach that, so when a tzaddik eats, right? So mail is that achila enhances him to be a greater vehicle, a better vehicle to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So his eating is like a carbon. It's all part of serving Hashem. Ashrei mi shezoicha lekai mitzvah seila b'kedusha tahara. Not so easy. Ashrei mi. Fortunate and happy is the person who is able to reach that at Madrege. To utilize in yonam avoylam azeh, right? For pureness, holiness, and purity. Now he goes a step further. Say something that takes sort of like a courage and sort of like a risky thought, but that's doesn't have no problem to go ahead and say this. He says if we go further, right, and we go deeper, we'll be forced, he says. Look what he says. This is not even mesupik on this. Look at the next statement. We have to arrive, he says, at an amazing and an awesome conclusion. If we go further, if we delve a little bit deeper, based upon what we have just learned, we have to arrive, he says, at a dover noir of an ifla, at an amazing and an awesome conclusion. And that is, hein kemoi shikli beis hamikdosh, im yishtamish behem choyel chayeh b'meileh. We know that if a person takes the kelim of the beis hamikdosh, and he uses it, right? And he uses it for divrei choyel. He uses it for divrei choyel, instead of using it for kedusha. The person goes to the beis hamikdosh, takes a kli, right? Takes a kli. And put shalt into it. So I use it for something which shalt maybe is holy. I don't know. Maybe it's not a good muscle. It's just something else. So I compile them. So he goes and puts, right, or use it for anything. Puts money into it. Could also be holy. So Kaponim, so he goes, Rabbi Isai, and he uses it. And he uses it for Dibachol. He's chai b'meila. We know that it's an Aveira, which is called misappropriation. There's an Aveira of misappropriating. But misusing, right, sanctified property. That which is hegdish, you're not allowed to misuse it. And if one does, there's a concept of me'ila, sacrilegious. Not to use something that's kodesh for something that's mundane. So everybody understands, if you take a kli from the Beis HaMikdash, right, that has inherent kedusha, to use it for, right, use it for your own personal use, it's a me'ila, right? It's me'ila, it's an aver of me'ila. Me'ila means what? Misusing it. The same thing. Taking in yonah oylam hazeh, and using it for divrei choyel, you're moyel, he says. It's misusing, misappropriating it, because everything in this world was created for a purpose of kedusha. The truth is, he says, our analogy is that the same thing arrives, that whoever, he says, shayach gam b'nehen moylam hazeh, if somebody derives personal pleasure just for the sake of pleasure, selfish pleasure, shloi l'tzorach ha-kedusha shema, not for the purpose of kedusha, shloi l'tachlis kumis elan ha-noz gufay, on ha-noz gufay, so he's here taking in yon ha-oylam hazeh just to pleasure himself, how he poshit moyl b'kotshim. This is a person who is moil bikachim, he has misused kedusha. Vizedover noiru mal, he says it's frightening to think of that. Because why? Because how many of us really reach that madrege to say that the pleasure that we take out of oilam hazeh, right, is for the sake of a kodesh baruch hu. So therefore he says it's a frightening, frightening thought. And, as the brother Lapian once said, you know what happens, he says, a person, you know, spends his time here on this world, and he takes out of this world, and he enjoys himself, and okay, so it's all there for the taking. Bella Pian said, this world is a very expensive hotel, and the next door you have to pay. It's a very expensive hotel. So whatever you take now, you know, everybody said, you know, you pay in a hotel, you know, when you leave. So when you leave this hotel, then you have to check out. Then you have to pay. Sayyid told me that he went to a very expensive hotel. And he finds a very poor yid over there. He literally could not afford to be in such an expensive hotel. He says, what's this to do? He said, what are you doing in this hotel? Can you afford it? He said, no. So what are you doing? So he said, the cloud you don't pay until you leave. I'm not leaving. He says, you stay there. So that's the cloud. So when you leave this world, Rabbi, he said, that's when you pay. That's what Rebel Rabbian said. Very expensive hotel. So, one more paragraph, we have to go to the sheet. He said, with this insight, we can now understand, he said, there's a puzzling Gemara in Ksubis. There's a puzzling Gemara. It describes, he says, the last hours of the great Tanna, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi. The Gemara describes the last hours of his life. The great Tanna. B'shaat Pitzerosei Shel Rebbe. When Rebbe was about to depart from this world, Zokaf Yud Etzba'ois of Klapamal. Let's remember, Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, was a Nosi. He was independently wealthy. Eternally wealthy. Yet, when he died prior to leaving this world, he raises up his 10 fingers towards Shemayim, and he says, Rabbi Nishalil, Golo B'yadu Lefanecha. He's talking to Hashem, right? Every word has to be 100% true. Anyway, it's Rabbeinu HaKodesh. He'll only say the truth. These 10 fingers, he says, I labored in Torah. And have not derived pleasure from this world even to the extent of my little finger. Who can say something like that? Rabbeinu HaKodesh. And he had everything. He was the greatest Oishim, one of the greatest Ashirim. Greatest Ashirim was very wealthy. Did not, what do you mean? So he didn't use any of the money that HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave him? Of course he used the money. So what does he mean? I didn't use it for myself. I did not have any personal Hanoah. That's what Rabbeinu HaKodesh says. That's what he means to say. Of course he used. He had a lot of Ashirim. He had money. He had wherewithal. He didn't mean to say he didn't use it. I didn't have any personal pleasure. Look at what he goes on to point out. The Mashmah Rabbi says, so he says, Yerotim Mufanecho. So Rabbi says, Yerotim Mufanecho. He says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, being that I can safely, truthfully, state the claim that I have not benefited, right, from this world. So now, Yerotim Mufanecho, Shia Sholem B'Menuchosi. I shall have peace in my Menuche. Right? So it, the request of Rabbeinu Kodesh, Yehirotzen, should be your will. May it be your will that Shabbat Menuche. It means that if he did derive benefit, right, it would seem to imply that if he did derive benefit, right, from the good things that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him, would that be a deficiency in his Menuche? That's what it seems. The reason he says, I should have Menuche, right, I should have Menuche in the next world, because I did not derive pleasure. But it implies that if he had he derived pleasure, it would be a deficiency in his Menuche. Why? As he points out, because Baruch Hu gave it to him. Because Baruch Hu gave him all this riches. Because Baruch Hu gave him all the Ashiris. Because Baruch Hu gave him all the Ashiris. Wasn't he supposed to use it? So he explains, we have to understand, why is Rebbe saying I'll only have Menuche? Because why? Because I didn't have Hanor Ma'olam Hazeh Klum. I'm not sure that he gave him all of this riches, that he shouldn't benefit from it. But you know what he meant to say is he was an extremely rich man, he said, and when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to him, he said, Rabbeinu HaKodesh Mipnei Shigi El Roim Hamalo. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, yes, as he's titled, Rabbeinu HaKodesh reached the highest madrig, he attained a level. Rabbeinu HaKodesh reached a level that Hisiki Kol Asher Nivra Be'olam Mitzrayach Kiddush Hashem Nivra. Rabbeinu HaKodesh was called Rabbeinu HaKodesh. He understood that everything in this world is for the purpose to further sanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, to promote Kiddush Hashem. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the Novi says, Kol Hanikra Bishmi Ulechvaydi Barasif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whatever I created, Hashem said, all that is called by my name, that's created, is created for my glory. I formed it and I molded it. Right? Whatever I've created, whatever I fashioned, whatever I molded, it's for purpose. Nikra Bishmi. It's to bring out, to promote Kvod Shemayim. So Rebbe understood, so all of the Ashir that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him, so Kiddush Nitnu Loi. If Rebbe understood that, had Rebbe failed, he understood that, had he failed and would have now used it for his own personal gain, that would be called Moil Bekotchim. He's immoral. He's misappropriating. He's misusing, like the kelim on the Beis Hamikdash. The mishtamish boy fenacha. Rabbi understood that. That if he would use it for any other way, yimoil bekotchi shemayim. He understood that we'd be held accountable for misusing right objects which is dedicated for kedusha. Mishum zeh. Therefore, kol masher lo kach min oilam hazeh. Whatever Rabbi took from this world, hakol hoy letachlis kedusha. Of course, he used it. But he didn't have any personal hanoah. I didn't have personal hanoah. It was the takhlis kedusha for the purpose, for the end of kedusha. It was to that end. The tzayach shemayim ki hakoil. Look what he says again. Mamish hakoil. It's not something. Everything without exception by Rabbeinu HaKodesh, hakoil hoya etzloi l'shem shemayim levad belushim chefetz acher. It means he had no other desire. Chefetz means he rotzen. He had no other desire. That was the desire. So this rabbi says, see, we have a shtickle idea. What Avodas Adam HaKoponim is, and we have an idea, at least something to aspire to see the great madrigas of the great people. So now, to a little bit to appreciate Mamish what Avdesla is saying, to see it, which was said about a few hundred years ago, by in the mid 1700s, or actually in the beginning of the 1700s, by the Ramchal himself. Let's take a look at the sheet, Rabbi Isai. See how much we can do a little bit of it. Let's take a look. So I want to mention, Rabbi Isai, that the shir is dedicated to the mother of Rabbi Singer, who is Nifter. We have here on the sheet, Rabbonis Blima, Bas Harav Yisrael Arya Leib. Olei Hashom is Nifta today. Yud Zayin Machezhin is Nifta today. And just want to mention that she was a bas Gedoilim Kedoshim. Her father was a Rebbe. Not only that, she's given a Baal Shem Tov Sanayinikol. In addition to being Baal Shem Tov Sanayinikol, also Yichus from many, many Gedoilim Tzadikim. So Meila Zoy, Baal Shem Tov Sanayinikol branches out into many, many Gedoilim Chassidus. So the Sheir should be here. Shuma should have an Aliyah. Okay, boys, so let's take a look here at Ramchal and Mesilas Yeshorim. Perek Chavov. Let's come out at the end of the Sefer. It's a Perek Chavov, Ramchal. Okay? We did a little bit of surgery here because it goes much, much longer, but we took out exactly what we need from the Ramchal over here. So Ramchal says as follows. Look what he says. What's Kedusha? What is Kedusha? What is holiness? So Ramchal in a Kedusha says Kofulhu. Kedusha says has a double. It basically has a, it consists of a double layer, which means the Hainat Techilosa Avoida Vesoifa Gemul. Kedusha means, Ramchal says something very beautifully. A human being is very limited in how much Kedusha he can do with his own effort. The good news is, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, you start your career in Kedusha, and I will help you to elevate you that you can reach the greatest levels of Kedusha. That's what Ramchal is saying. It's Techilose Avoida, it starts out with Avoida. You have to start working. When you start the Avoida of Kedusha, you commit yourself to a world and a life of Kedusha, Soifa Gemul, the end comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. Soifa Gemul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow and give you the ability to be able to rise further. And he goes on to say, Techilose Yishtadlus, the beginning starts with your own Yishtadlus. You have to put in your own effort. V'soifa Matone, but the end comes Matone. So Kedusha will be a gift. Kedusha will be a gift after you start the process of Avoida. Hainu, first, a person has to commit himself and actively has to sanctify himself, live a life of holiness as much as he can. The soifoi and the end result will be mashim mikadshinoi soi shemayim will be mikadishim, as Chazal say in Yuma, odu mikadish atzmoi ma'at mikadshinoi soi harde milmato mikadshinoi soi milmalo. Okay, Gemara in Yuma. Now says Ramchal, and he goes on to explain. Now what's the shtadlus you have to do? What he's asking for me is not so easy either. So the Rabbi Shalom is going to do the hard part. You have to do the so-called easy part, yeah? That you have to do yourself, what you can do. Shtadlus is like this. The shtadlus, the first part in your career in Kedusha is, Shehoodom nivdal v'netok menachumri yis legamre. Hear that? A person separates himself, chumriyis means from this material world. U'mizdabik tomit. And he connects and he cleaves b'choleis b'chol shobilikov. In other words, his mind is occupied with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. His mind is... Look, the Ramah says that. The Ramah opens up the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph. And Ramah, you think he's talking about great tzaddikim? The Shulchan Aruch is written for us. Every generic one. Shavisi Hashem l'negdi somit. Now he says it's a kalgodu b'malas ha-tzaddikim. Because unfortunately, they are the ones, right? Well, in most likely to be successful. But Shavisi Hashem l'negdi somit wasn't said only for the greatest tzaddikim. It's something that each and every one, right, to his own ability, should work on that. Shavisi Hashem lo negdis on it. So he says, "Vafilu b'shas his asker b'masa magashim." Look what he says. Even when you're doing, in other words, serving Hashem when you're davening, halvai we serve Hashem then also. There's some problems with that. But he says, "But we're asking, no. We're asking you when you're doing gashmizge things. Yeah, when you're going to work, when you're driving to work, whatever you're doing, you're serving Hashem in every area." In every area, Zafilu b'shas hisasku b'maisa b'gashmi hamukrochemoy, that you have to do. Right? There's many gashmizig things. Physical things that you have to do, mepas gufoy, that your guf demands. Hine loy tozus nafshoy midveikuso elyon. But that should not be a barrier. Even if you're oising your own gash, you're eating, you're drinking, you're sleeping, whatever you are doing. Whatever you're doing, right? In order to satisfy your bodily needs, your physical needs, that's not an excuse to separate yourself from godliness. As it goes on to say, Ukein Yishenema, Posikis Antilam, Dovko Nafshi Achrecho. Torah Melech says, my nefesh always, right, cleaves after you. Be Tomcho Yimenech. I'm most connected to you. V'yomnom, however, says the Ramchal, Lefishi Yefshol Yodam Shiyoshim Hu Es Atzmoy B'matzafazeh. Right? But to ask a person on his own, right, to do the whole work all by himself, in order to come so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu in every aspect of his life, to demand of each and every person to do it on his own, it might be quite difficult. Ki kovid hu memenu, it's a little bit too difficult. Kisof, after all, we are created with physical needs. We are created, right, with natural desires. So that's built in. A man is materially built. I told you the good news. So it means at the end, a person is able to overcome his natural desires, his natural lusts, his natural tithes. Right? If you start the process within the best of your ability, then the end will come, the matona. Kishbaki can do everything. Kishbaki can do everything. Because what you can do is, first of all, you have to study. You have to study Yerushalayim. Right? And you have to be consistent in it. You have to try as much as possible whenever you're doing something to do it b'kedusha. You try. After you do your chelik, Hashem sees you want to go on this path. The Yashra Orav Kedusha Osoy, Kadosh Baruch Hu brings down Kedusha upon you. Mamish. Kadosh Baruch Hu brings down Kedusha, Vikacheyu. But Oz Yislach Beyodo, if Kadosh Baruch Hu throws Kedusha upon you, so now you become transformed. Yanu transformed to a holy being. Kadosh Baruch Hu throws Kedusha into you, infuses you, gives you an injection. Of course, gives an injection of Kedusha. So now you become a Kedusha like a being. Then you'll be Matliach Sheyuchaliyaz Bedveikus Hazeh, Imoy Yisborach is a Bitmidis. He says, "Kimasha teva mimenu," because that chelik, that the physical, right, prevents him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will override it. You hear that? With the physical, right, the physical that creates a barrier, right, which will not allow him to elevate himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will override it if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that you do your shtablus. Kimasha teva mimenu, that which is the natural order, right, will prevent him, Yazreu yizborach v'siyuya yitin loy, as he puts on. Go to the next paragraph. Now, if a person lives his life with Kedusha, look what he says further. What he says, Ramchal says, if you live in this world the life of Kedusha, you're not living in Olam Hazeh, you're living in Olam Haba. You can live in Olam Hazeh just physically, but you're not here. You're really in Olam Haba. You're living up because in this world itself, the lifestyle that you are leading, a life of Kedusha, you are really being transposed. You are being transported. You are being transported literally into Olam Haba. It's as if not in this world. You are now walking in front of Hashem ba'artzus achayim. While you are in Olam Hazeh, you're really in Olam Haba. It's possible to be in Olam Hazeh, but you're not in Olam Hazeh. Where you are, you're in Olam Haba. Now look at this. Frightening words. Amazing words. I repeat it again. Amazing words. Hine ish kozehu atzmai nechshav kemishkan. Mishkan. The holiest, right? The holiest that Klal Yisrael had. The Mishkan. Basoli migdash v'shechanti b'sarach. A human being can be a Mishkan. A human being can be a Mishkan. Kemigdash. And like the Beis HaMigdash. Ukemizbeach. The Medrash says on the pasuk Vayal Me'ol Avelakim. It says Vayakov Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu Vayal Me'ol Avelakim, which means Hashem was upon him. Vayal Me'ol Avelakim. So Chazal say, Ho Ovois Hein Hein Hamarkove. The Ovois are the chariot of the Shekhinah. Do you want to explain something? If you see a royal chariot, right? You see the royal chariot passing by. Without looking in, you know the king is in there, because no commoner has a right to be there. Chayv Misa, Achas Dosoy. If you see the royal chariot passing through, without looking in, you know what? You know that this chariot is carrying the king. When you looked at the Yovis, Avram Yitzchak V'Yankov, if you knew HaKadosh Baruch was upon them, you saw the royal chariot. Avram Yitzchak V'Yankov, they're the Merkava, they're the chariot of the Shekhinah. It means that they carry the Shekhinah. In the same way that the royal chariot carries the king, the Ovos themselves, they were the Merkava, they were the chariot. When you looked at Avraham Avinu, you saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kibbi Yochan. Kadosh Baruch Hu was right on top of him. Kadosh Baruch Hu surrounded him. That's what the Ovos. The Ovos were the Merkava L'Shechina. And not only the Ovos, as it goes on further, the Chenomer HaTzadikim Heinein HaMerkava. The Tzadikim are the chariots. What do you mean they are the chariots? Because the Shechina is upon them. Because the Shechina is upon them, so they are the chariots. Right? They are carrying the Shechina. Look at this. Umaata, consequently, look what he says. Umaata, listen to this. Umaata, hamachol shem oichlim. If I'm telling you that what? That these tzaddikim are like a mishkan, they're like a mizbeach, so the food that they eat, hu kekarbon she'oil al gabo ishim, is like an offering, a carbon that's placed on the fire of the mizbeach. Ki vadai hu. There's no question, says Ramchal. There's no question, he says. He says, in the same way, look, when you put a carbon on the Mizbeach, right? The carbon, right? The bosser of the carbon or whatever goes on the Mizbeach becomes elevated, right? By putting a carbon, putting a sacrifice on the Mizbeach, becomes elevated. When a tzaddik, a person of Kedusha, eats food, that food becomes elevated. Because now, it's like on the Mizbeach. The semen's on a carbon. So says Ramchal. Because it is certain when a carbon goes on the Mizbeach, she enechshev le'ilui godol. Le'ilui godol means it's a tremendous spiritual elevation. When a carbon is put on the Mizbeach, it's an ilui godol. It's a spiritual elevation. El oisen advarim shoyu oilam al gabam Mizbeach. Those things that are put on Mizbeach have a spiritual elevation. Why? Because it's put before Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's put before the Shechina. Kein ha'machol ba'mishte. So he says the machol and the mishte. He says food and drink. Shoyish hakodesh oichel iloi hu lemachol. You hear that? The machol has a spiritual elevation. The mundane food, the poshut, the food that was on the table. Once the tzaddik eats it, it now has a spiritual elevation. He said, and the same thing that he's drinking. Kilo nikrov agaben zbeach mamish. Look at the words, mamish. It's not similar. It's not doime. It's mamish. He says, exactly. Because the Talmid HaChachomim who are Kodesh in their ways, again, mamish, look at the words again, mamish, a human being. A human being is mamish like the Migdosh. Mipnei shehashchina shor aleihem, kama shehoyis shor b'migdosh, mamish. V'hineh hanikra v'lahem, so whatever you give to them is like giving to the Beis HaMikdash. When you give to the Talmud Chochim, you give to them, you give to the Beis HaMikdash. So I just want to show you, to have an idea, what it means, Kedusha. We have no time to go into the Ber Yosef, but look a little bit just here, at least number three. Because then we're going to end with this here, Rabbi Yisai. Look at number three, on top, the Ramban. Look at Ramban. A few lines of Ramban. In the Torah it says in Parshas Ekev, we all know that Pasuk, it says the Ludovka boy. Rabbi Yisai, let's stop for a moment. Ludovka boy. Well, Ludovka boy. So the arch scroll translation means to cleave to Hashem. So what does that mean? So how does a person fulfill the Dovka boy? Practically speaking, give me a practical example. In life, when am I mekayim or the Dovka boy? How? Look what Ramban says. The Dovka boy demands the following hanhoge. What is the demand? Says Ramban. Ramban, remember, Pachas Ekev. The Dovka boy means Shediyazoicher Hashem, you should be mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'havosoi, that Hashem loves and loving Hashem. Tomit, always. Loitiporid machshavtocho memenu, you hear that? You cannot separate Hashem from yourself. Belechtocho baderech, I don't care whether you're traveling, whether you're on the bus, you're on the subway, you're on the plane, or you're walking, ubishochbucho, uvkomecho. Hashem has to be in your mind all the time. Listen to this. It's mind-boggling. Rabban says, right, you meet your friend on the street, you say good morning, you're thinking about Hashem. Air mind, that's same. That's some good morning. And whatever you're talking about, person, right, here's you talking to him, but your mind really is not on him. I mean, you have to talk to him, so you're talking to him. But where is your mind focused? Your mind is on Hashem. So Ramban says, that's called the Dovka boy. The Dovka boy means you're speaking to people, but your mind, he says, is not with them really. And he says, people on the highest madrega, high madrega, she nafshom tzerura b'tzorachayim, came ba'atzman also mo'in l'shchina. Marshal Ramchal says, they become the mo'in l'shchina. They become the place that the shchina dwells there. That's when it bows upon them. So Rabbi Yisai, so if we conclude here, let me just tell you. Rav Dessler wrote, Rabbi Yisai, about the Kedoshim of Kelm. Rav Dessler wrote about the Kedoshim Kelm. It's in the Sefer Taki Michtav Melio, in one of the Mekoymis. And Rav Dessler writes the following. It's chilling words, talking about how Kelm was destroyed, and what happened. Just mamish 2 minutes, Rabbi Yisai. Let me tell you what that says. And I'm quoting, he says like this. I remember, says Rav Dessler, says the night of Simchas Torah in Kelm. He says, the Rabbonim went through the street and danced with all the strength toward the city, with joyous ecstasy. And they were singing, he says, with all the koyach. What was the song they were singing on Simchas Torah? Says Rav Dessler, I remember them singing, Ashreinu Matoiv Cholkeinu. We are so fortunate. We are so fortunate to be Yid. Zening, Oivi Gitzizana Yid. Ashreinu Matoiv Cholkeinu. 40 years later, writes Rav Dessler, 40 years later, it says, when the precious tzaddikim of Kelm were destroyed, in Khurban Europe, they sang and they danced again. Even in their final hour, says Rav Dessler, their final hour, it testified their incomparable, he says, spiritual brilliance. And then Rav Dessler says, the time of the terrible destruction arrived. At the gate were the murderers, the Reitzchim. They took every man, woman, and child out to the street, driven and beaten with cruel, unrelieved blows. No afsake. These holy people, says Rav Dessler, this is his Loshen, these holy people strengthened their hearts, they firmed their spirits with enthusiasm and fervent joy to perform the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. They knew they were going to die. So they danced with all their strength and sang the same song as Simchas Torah Ashreinu Matoich Chalkeinu. The same song that they sang every year on Simchas Torah, they sang for the last time as they're giving the life for Kiddush Hashem. How fortunate that we are Jews. How fortunate that we merit to die because we are Jews. So, says Rav Dessler, they went with dancing enthusiasm. And the joy became stronger and stronger, going further and further upwards, until they arrived, he says, at the killing field, at the outskirts of the city, where they surrendered their lives to their master, cleaving to him with the joy of the mitzvah. These are the words that Rav Dessler Taka describes the last moments of the Talmud Torah, the great Talmud Torah of Kelm. He, Rabbi Yisrael, he was the product. It survived in him and his teachings and his Talmidim, and that's what we are learning today.